It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, Paul speaks about the church. And as we look at this, we understand that the church Paul is speaking of is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is made up of those believers who are born again during this dispensation that we live in, the church dispensation, or the dispensation of the church. Some people call this the dispensation of grace. And I would remind you that every dispensation that we read of in the Word of God is a dispensation of grace, because that's how anyone has ever come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about that in every dispensation in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So, the dispensation that we live in, I prefer to call it the dispensation of the church. Well, Paul speaks of this dispensation. He tells us that we are members of the body of Christ. We are members of His church. That's for people who are saved, who are born again. We read of this in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. Well, Paul also, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to us about not only the body of Christ, but also about the family. He writes to us about the husband, the wife, and the children. He leaves nothing to chance here. He wants us to know the connection or the illustration of the family that is connected to the body of Christ. In other words, it's a likeness. Well, we pick up our reading now in verse 31, where it says, "For this cause." Now, I'm going to stop there with these three words right now, "for this cause." Well, for this cause, what cause? Why? Ephesians 5:30 tells us why. "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." Well, now, as we look at the rest of the verse, it says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh." Well, just as the husband and wife are joined together, we are joined together to the body of Christ. We are members of His body, those of us who have been born again during this dispensation. Now, as we look at this verse, it says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh," just like in essence, like we are members of the body of Christ. Verse 31, once again, says, "For this cause." Well, if you get into the Word of God, you'll find out that this verse is a quotation from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. It says there, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Well, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, it contains the account of the institution of marriage. Now, we could say that the phrase in the first part of the verse could be said like this, "or for this cause," or "according to this," and I believe this, "for this cause." It corresponds to what Paul had just said of the union of believers and the Redeemer, and that's what I just mentioned earlier. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30 says, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." Remember, Christ has been comparing the church as His bride to the union of man and woman as husband and wife, as we studied in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. Notice with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, you may not have time to turn there as you follow along in your Bible. Now, I trust that you do have your Bible open. But you can write these verses down as I go through them. Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6 says, "And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but are one flesh." In other words, there are no more two considered two, but they are one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. In our verse, in verse 31, it says that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. Well, in comparison of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5, Ephesians 5:31, where it says they shall a man and a woman, or shall a man leave his father and mother, we remember as comparison here how Christ had to leave for heaven after he rose from the dead. You see, he had to go back to heaven. He left us here. But notice verse 1 or verse 11 of Acts chapter 1 where it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, of course, these were the two men, the Bible says, standing by, watching. And all of these people watched Jesus as he went up. And these men said, why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus taken up from you is going to come in like manner. He's going to come back in the clouds. You see, there's coming a time when you and I, saved people, will also leave this earth, as the Bible says, either in death, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We'll either go that way or at the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Either way, in death or the rapture, death or rapture, caught up, that's what the word rapture means, we as his church will have left this earth to be joined to him, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, to become his bride, his wife. And this means we will have forsaken this world to be with the one who gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. But remember this, he is not on the cross. He is alive in heaven waiting for his bride. And that's us, his church. And the verse back in chapter 2 of Genesis says a man's going to leave his mother and father. That's like us leaving this earth to go to be with our Lord. The Bible tells us that it's likening us to a marriage that takes place. It's likening us to a bride that goes to the bridegroom for the ceremony. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9 says, and there came unto me, and this is John speaking, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that's us. We're the bride. We are going to be with our Lord one day, our one who saved us. Revelation 19:9 says, and he said unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. God doesn't lie. God tells the truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jesus is waiting for us. He's waiting for his bride. He's waiting for the church to be gathered together to him. I believe that's going to be a glorious time, a time that no man or no woman can actually describe in detail and really fully understand until we get there. And then we're going to understand it doth not yet appear. 1 John 3:2 says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know everything right now, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We know that we're going to receive a new body fashioned like our Lord's body. And it says that we're actually at that time going to be able to see Jesus Christ for the first time. That's reality. And that's going to take place. It says, for we shall see him as he is. He's in his new body, his resurrected body, and so will we. And we'll be presented to him as his bride. Now, notice verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 5. And it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, we don't know everything right now. We have the Word of God in front of us, and we have the Word of God that we can read, and we're led by the Holy Spirit to understand the things that He has for us. But there are certain things that we can't fully grasp. Now, I can't fully grasp how that the Bible is comparing me and us, the church, to His bride. I can't understand that fully, but I simply know that it is true. It's a great mystery, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:32, but I speak, the Bible says, concerning Christ and the church. This is God's Word. And notice that verse, and it starts off, this is a great mystery. We see the word mystery means something which is concealed, hidden. In other words, it's before unknown. It does not mean that it cannot be understood when it is disclosed, but that before this time, it has been kept a secret. See, when a mystery is disclosed, it may be as understandable as any other truth. So God is letting us see a great mystery here. He's getting ready to unfold this mystery. Well, if you'll notice, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. I often have people mention to me, well, I really don't know God's will for my life. Well, you need to get into the Word of God. You need to pray. And you need to ask God, what is His will for your life? I can't tell you what the will for your life is. I can simply say that God will let you know if you get into the Word and you study the Word and you pray and you ask God, what is your will for my life, Lord? I can say this, that it is His will that you lead other people to Him, that you tell other people about Jesus. But there's so much more to the Christian life than telling other individuals how to go to heaven. Oh, that is so important. But we need to do more for the Lord. To find out His will for your life, you need to get serious with Him. You need to pray, and you need to ask Him, oh Lord, what will You have me to do? Get into His Word and let His Word speak to your heart, and then you speak to the heart of God in prayer. Well, in verse 32, the word mystery simply means that there was a great deal about the joining together of the Redeemer with the church that resembles the marriage of a husband and wife that believers in the church at Ephesus were not aware of. They didn't understand this up to this point. Well, the likeness of a marriage arrangement between Christ and the church was not obvious to the Jews. Well, it, to me, is evident that those Jewish believers in the church at Ephesus were previously unaware of any teaching up to this point concerning the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and His bride, the church. Well, this means that up to this point they did not understand, because they had received no teaching on the subject and simply did not understand until now. How could they understand? Well, Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing down this epistle. And it has come down to us today that we can get into this book, into this epistle, and we can study it and we can read it, and God unfolds things to us. And these things are so important. Everything in the Word of God is important, but it brings joy to my heart when I know that one day I'm going to be with my Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's going to be so real. I can get close to Him today, but it's nothing compared to what I'll be one day. I'll be with Him personally.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.